are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Welcome once again into the show. The Minnesota Timberwolves tonight will be taking on the Memphis Grizzlies at FedEx Forum in Memphis. The Timberwolves are 4-2 this season and coming off of a 28-point loss to Milwaukee on Monday night, while the Grizzlies are 1-5 and coming off of a 7-point loss on Monday to the Houston Rockets. Today we are going to cover a quick preview of Wolves-Grizzlies, and then we will talk through where the Wolves are ranked via four of the more prominent power rankings across the NBA landscape. So we'll start with Wolves Grizzlies, kind of some high level look at the two teams and how they match up and how each team has done so far this season. The Grizzlies have arguably been the worst team in the league thus far, so we'll get a little bit more into that in a moment. First, the Wolves have played all six of their games against the Eastern Conference. There's just a couple of interesting schedule anomalies here for each team. The Timberwolves have played all six of their games so far this season against the East, and four of those six games have come on the road. Wednesday will be the Timberwolves' first game against the Western Conference opponent so far this year, and their fifth road game in their seven games overall. I think without any additional context, if Timberwolves fans were told that their team would be 4-2 through the first six games, would take that. A team that was not expected to win more than 35, 36, 37 games after winning 36 games last year, at least according to to Las Vegas and many of the so-called experts. And, you know, 4-2 is a pretty good start to the season. And then with the additional context that Karl-Anthony Towns would be suspended for two of those games and ejected from one of them, with the Wolves losing the game that he was ejected from by however many points it was, 28 points or whatever crazy deficit they lost by in Philadelphia. My secondary Timberwolves internet job, if you will, is over at Dunking with Wolves, a fan-sided blog about the Timberwolves. My colleague over there tweeted from the Dunking with Wolves account after the game the other night that the Timberwolves this year are undefeated when Karl-Anthony Towns plays in all four quarters, which is an interesting way to look at the start of the season. Granted, the Wolves were behind pretty significantly when Towns was ejected from the game last Wednesday against Philadelphia, but considering that the Wolves won the first three games that Towns was involved in quite easily, and on Monday were in the game against the Bucks until the second half and ultimately were blown out without Towns at their disposal, It's a true statement to say the Timberwolves are undefeated when Towns plays in all four quarters. And of course they won that blowout victory over the Wizards in Washington on Saturday without Towns as well. So the 4-2 start is certainly impressive. While they've had a few breaks go their way, certainly feels like they've had more breaks break the opposite way. From Towns suspension to, the hand that they were dealt from the league when it came to the suspension following the Sixers game last week. Memphis, on the other hand, is in the exact inverse position, having played four of its six games at home already this season. And like I mentioned a moment ago, there can be an argument made that Memphis has been the worst team in the league thus far. They actually have the NBA's worst point differential, which I've heard some arguments lately with folks arguing against point differential, but the quick and dirty is that it's essentially a Pythagorean formula that gives you a pretty good sense for just how good the team has played, how many close losses could have gone either way. Obviously the closer the game, the closer it was to a coin flip. And so looking at the league's best and worst plus minuses, the Wolves, after having, you know, both their losses were blowout losses, they have their plus minuses of, or their differential, I should say, is just a positive 0.3, which is actually the exact same as the Denver Nuggets, who also are 4-2. The Grizzlies, on the other hand, are 1-5 with a negative 11.8. The next worst in the entire NBA is the New York Knicks, who are 1-6 with a negative 9.1. There are two 1-6 teams. That's the Knicks and the Pelicans. And the Grizzlies are the only other one-win team in the league at 1-5. And then there are a number of two-win teams that have all lost five or six games, including the Golden State Warriors, who are 2-5, and the Wolves will play them on Friday night. So with that point differential, looking at what the Grizzlies have done thus far this season, it's not pretty. They've lost to a couple of teams, or they played a couple teams that the Wolves have. They lost to the Miami Heat on opening night by 19 points. That was a road game. And then they did beat the Brooklyn Nets in overtime at home, which is their only win of the season. So they beat the Nets by 1 point. You'll recall the Timberwolves escaped against the Nets in overtime in Brooklyn. The Grizzlies have also lost to the Bulls by 8. They lost at the Lakers, were blown out by 29 points. They lost at home by 9 to the Suns. And then on Monday, as mentioned, lost to the Rockets by 7. So outside of the Lakers game and opening night against the Heat, all their other losses have been by single digits. And their win was a narrow win. So the Grizzlies are, again, arguably the league's worst team, after having beaten the Nets, who are at this point a pretty average team. They're 3-4 so far with a barely positive point differential of their own. So not a whole lot to write home about so far this season for the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to get into a few of their players and how they match up against the Timberwolves here in just a moment. First, I did want to mention our friends at MyBookie. If you are the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, make sure to try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week in NBA action, NFL action, college action, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. NCAA basketball is back in action. It's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to the Spartans carving up defenses. Or in my case, the Minnesota Golden Gophers carving up defenses, hopefully, maybe. For the Spartans, Cassius Winston returns for his senior year, trying to prove that he has what it takes to bring a championship to Michigan State. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's preview Wolves Grizzlies as we get into some of the individual matchups. We should mention off the top some injury news. The Timberwolves had a couple of players get checked out during the game on Monday with potential injuries. Robert Covington took a hard fall, went back and got his hip area looked at. He said after the game he was fine, and he's not officially listed as on the injury report for the Timberwolves. The Wolves also had Jordan Bell during the game on Monday go back to the locker room to get checked out for a shoulder injury, and he is not officially listed on the injury report. He said he'd be fine, and he did return to action in the game. So I wouldn't expect Jordan Bell to necessarily be unavailable, although with Karl-Anthony Towns back in the fold on Wednesday, Bell may or may not even be part of the rotation if healthy. The only and most significant injury, I guess, for the Timberwolves is Shabazz Napier, who left the end of the game when it was already decided, but had been on the floor for the Wolves late in the game against Milwaukee, and he left due to a hamstring injury. Ryan Saunders said he's questionable moving forward, is what he told the media on Tuesday after practice. And the word, I believe it was Darren Wolfson of KSTP, said on Twitter that the word was that Jordan McLaughlin, the two-way point guard, or one of the two-way contract holders for the Wolves, was on his way to Memphis to meet the Wolves after having head back to Des Moines for the start of the G League season. McLaughlin has not appeared in a game yet this year. He was on the bench in a suit for the first part of the season, but it sounds like he'll be joining the team just in case. We've talked about on this podcast since free agency was over in July that the Wolves' biggest question mark is going to be point guard depth. And I would be willing to bet that if Napier is not 100%, which it sounds like he won't be for Wednesday, the Wolves aren't going to risk him further injuring his hamstring for a game against the Grizzlies when they could get by with probably 30 plus minutes of Jeff Teague, a few minutes of Andrew Wiggins or Jarrett Culver running the point, and then 10 to 12 minutes of Jordan McLaughlin against the Grizzlies. So ironically, it's right before the Wolves take on the Grizzlies, whose backup point guard is none other than Tyus Jones, who was the Timberwolves backup point guard for the better part of the last two or three seasons. So there is certainly some irony there. Here's hoping that Napier either plays and doesn't re-injure himself, or the Wolves do what's probably best and hold him out for a game or two to not allow that sort of injury, that the hamstring injury, to linger, as those types of injuries tend to do. In terms of the Grizzlies, they had a couple of players miss the game on Monday against the Rockets who are a significant part of the rotation. Jaren Jackson is a regular starter for the Grizzlies and missed the game on Monday due to a knee injury. He's listed as day-to-day. Don't know his availability at the time of this recording for the game on Wednesday evening. Would be significant if he didn't play. His absence on Monday meant that Brandon Clark, the 23-year-old rookie from Gonzaga, who the Timberwolves were rumored to have some interest in and was ultimately drafted 21st in June's draft, he started the game on Monday in place of Jaren Jackson and did a good job. The other injury for the Grizzlies is Grayson Allen, the former Utah Jazz player, who's day-to-day with an ankle injury. He had played in the first five games, averaged just under 17 minutes a game, so a regular part of the rotation, and missed Monday's game. Not sure at this point, again, of the status of either player and what that might mean for Wednesday's game, but now that we're a little over 2 weeks into the season, some of these nagging injuries are going to start to crop up, unfortunately, for each team. The rest of the Grizzlies starting lineup is rounded out by Jay Crowder, also formerly of the Jazz. The exciting rookie John Morant, Dylan Brooks, and Jonas Valanciunas is the starting center for the Grizzlies. So there's certainly some talent on this team. The issue is that most of the team is quite young and there isn't very much depth. The rotation is also includes Kyle Anderson, the former Spur, and Solomon Hill would be the other name that folks are aware of, who's been around the league a little bit. The team is led in scoring by Morant, the rookie, who scores 19.5 points a game and is shooting well over 50% from the floor, averaging almost 15 shots a game. And to this point, is shooting 50% from outside the arc on, one make on two attempts per game, and has been a solid player all the way around. It would be really hard to argue that he isn't the best player on the team at this point. This side of, I guess, Valanciunas. Clearly there's a lot to be desired on the defensive end for Morant, who's only 20 years old and played smaller college, mid-major basketball at Murray State. Isn't a huge guy, and so there's going to be some defensive liability issues. He's also backed up by a more diminutive point guard in Tyus Jones, who's obviously a good defender. To this point this season, Jones has struggled a little bit on both ends of the floor. His offense has struggled maybe more than could have been suspected. He's only 1 of 11 from beyond the arc. He's shooting 36.2% overall from the field and has just 27 assists to 7 turnovers and only 9 steals so far this year for Jones, which is a little bit lower than to be expected even in a backup role for him. Brandon Clark has been real good as expected off the bench. He's a solid rebounder, is second on their team in rebounding percentage next to Valanciunas, and hasn't needed to be a big part of the offense. So there's certainly some pieces that are intriguing in place for the Grizzlies. This is absolutely a game that Karl-Anthony Towns can dominate and likely will look to do so in his first game back from his suspension. The matchup with Valanciunas is one that he should be able to take advantage of on the offensive end of the floor, to be sure. And he'll just need to be careful on defense, per always, for Towns when it comes to getting into foul trouble. So that'll be something else to keep an eye on. But he should be able to have his way in the paint against this team. And the Wolves will have to do their best to try and check Brandon Clark and his rebounding ability when he's in the game. But it's not a game that the Wolves need to worry too much, especially if Jaren Jackson doesn't play, about getting beat up down low, or beat up from front court athleticism like they needed to be concerned with against the Bucks and Giannis, or obviously the 76ers. There isn't as much to be worried about from a front court athleticism perspective. The Timberwolves should be able to handle that aspect of the matchup at least quite well. The point guard matchup, you know, I already mentioned Morant and Tyus Jones for the Grizzlies and Teague and some sort of backup point guard by committee and Jordan McLaughlin. So that'll be an area where the Grizzlies will likely have the advantage, especially if Teague plays like he did the other night against Milwaukee. But if Teague plays like he did against Washington and going back a week, 10 days or so against Miami, then the Wolves will be just fine. Teague's had a couple of really great games in the past week. Week plus. So if he decides to bring that effort to the table and is looking for his shot in this game, then the Wolves will be just fine. Robert Covington is going to be another key. The Grizzlies as a team don't launch a ton of threes themselves and are fairly middle of the pack when it comes to giving up three-pointers. The Grizzlies are actually only 23rd in three-point attempts and they're last in three-point percentage in the entire league, shooting just 26.5% from beyond the arc. If Covington can hit another three or four threes in this game and be active enough on the glass and hold the Grizzlies in check themselves, if the Wolves are able to play a smaller lineup with Covington at the four and potentially their hands will be tied a little bit. I know Ryan Saunders has been doing the Teague and Napier backcourt for 2 to 3 minutes a game over the first part of the season, but assuming Napier's not available, they won't likely go that route. But the Timberwolves, with the size of their wings, guys like Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, Andrew Wiggins, if they're aggressive, they should win the rebounding battle. And the issues in the backcourt and the lack of depth in the backcourt shouldn't hurt them all that much in this matchup. All things considered, this is a game that the Timberwolves should absolutely end up winning. With or without Shabazz Napier, with Towns back in the lineup, they would have no business losing this game on regular rest and against an inferior team. The Timberwolves are favored by 4.5 in this game. The line is Minnesota -4.5. So I would expect the Timberwolves to win and cover the spread. If I were picking this game, I'm going to say that they win by 7 to 10 points, something in that range. As again, it's a favorable matchup to be sure. Okay, next we're going to get into looking at a few of the power rankings around the league. There were some course corrections that happened on some of the bigger websites related to their power rankings. First, wanted to mention our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. It's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. All right, continuing a segment we started last week related to power rankings from around the league. There's a few of the more, I guess, reputable and bigger name websites that put out weekly power rankings, typically on Sunday or Monday, late Sunday, early Monday, that are in most ways a too rapid reaction to the previous week. Inherently, there's plenty of recency bias in a season that goes on from mid-October to mid-April, the better part of 5 or 6 months to take a week's worth of games. And in some cases, as the Wolves this past week, they only played two games and to draw some sort of grand conclusion from them. So, of course, last week it was a little bit absurd when the Wolves were ranked anywhere from 15th in ESPN's poll to third in CBS Sports ranking. Now this week, as I mentioned a moment ago, there has been some course correction from some of these sites. The sites like ESPN that had the Wolves ranked too low has bumped them up a little bit, and the sites that had them ranked laughably high have bumped them down perhaps too much or adjusted a little bit too far the other way in reaction to where they were last week. So the quick rundown is, you know, as mentioned, ESPN had the Wolves at number 15 last week, despite the fact that heading out of that first week of games, the Wolves were 3-0 through last Sunday, but ESPN still had them ranked 15. This week they nudged them up to number 12 after a 1-1 week that saw the Wolves get blown out by the Sixers and then blow out the Washington Wizards without Towns. So they were bumped up to 12. It's actually the only site that the Wolves improved in ranking. Last week on NBA.com, the Wolves were ranked number 5, and then this week they're ranked number 7. NBA.com, the nice thing about their power rankings, if you visit those each week, is that they'll list a few different statistics, including offensive and defensive rating as a team and the ranking in the league for each of the teams, as well as pace, and then just some other notable statistics. So certainly a little bit more context is included there. NBA.com pointed out that the Wolves, this was prior to the Bucks game on Monday, the Wolves remained second in the league in pace, and the team defensive rating at number 8, again, before the game against the Bucks, is actually quite ahead of the offensive rating, which was number 16 in the league. And, you know, if both offensive and defensive ratings can remain in the top half in the league, means the Wolves are going to be a playoff team this year. That's almost a given. So here's hoping that they keep the pace up. I would believe that the offense would improve moving forward, although the lack of shooting, as we've talked about plenty here on Locked On Wolves, could certainly and has to this point hindered them a bit, but it could certainly hurt more down the road, especially if the defense keeps playing solid basketball overall. Last week, CBS Sports had the Wolves ranked way too high at number 3, and then this week they dropped them six slots to number 9. Again, a little bit of a course correction. I think somebody tapped the writer on the shoulder and said, hey, the Wolves are not the third best team in the league, regardless of their 3-0 record. And they slid them down 6 slots to number 9. And then we didn't talk about SI.com's the crossover last week, but this week their rankings have the Wolves at number 7. So among these four, power poles, if you will, the Wolves were ranked number 7 twice. They also rank number 9 and then number 12 by ESPN. So putting them somewhere in the 7 to 12 range seems about right given what we know so far about this team and how they've performed to this point in the season. Again, power rankings are admittedly an exercise in overreaction to small sample sizes of games and individual player performances, but of course, we're going to talk about it here at Locked On Wolves because the rest of the league is talking about it and the rest of the NBA landscape is talking about it. So we're going to talk about it. And so you can expect this to be a weekly update at some point early in the week, each week throughout the season, to see what the national folks are saying about the Timberwolves and their status in the league-wide landscape. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thank you once again for listening to Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Thursday morning with a recap podcast of Wednesday night's game between the Wolves and the Memphis Grizzlies, hopefully a victory for the Wolves. And we'll talk about the high points, low points, studs and duds from the game. And we'll hope that you will join us on Thursday for that podcast. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.